As a kid, I was like, money solves all problems, right? Which is not true, but it does solve a lot of problems. I was constantly running like budgets and calculating our bills, what it was going to take to get our first house, buy the furniture, what the rent was going to be.
If your child is in the same position at the same time, what advice do you give them?
I was like, man, I got to have some income coming in while we build this. Otherwise, I'm going to have to go get a job, and this is still just going to have to be a side hustle. And so my partner, Jeremy, and I, we decided, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pay ourselves $500 a week. That's it. So I went from 150 grand a year to 20 grand a year, you know? And so, and I was like, when we get $100,000 in the bank, free and clear, total basis, no expenses, no taxes, nothing, then we'll give ourselves a raise.
Okay.
Then we'll have tangible some capital goal to grow. We'll be able to build our sales team. We'll be able to do all these things, right? And so that was what we stuck to, man. So we hustled in the basement until we had 100 grand in the bank account. And then we went and got our office space, started bringing other sales guys, started bringing in other coaches and training them. And it kind of flourished from there.
Please help me welcome to the show, Cale Goodman.
Hey, it's my pleasure, brother.
How are you, man?
I'm super stoked to be here. I'm great.
Well, I'm so thankful that you actually carved out time because before we get into you, I want to talk about why you're actually in San Diego right now. You know, tell us.
Well, like I was just telling you before we went on air, you know, we've had our podcast now for 4 years and it kind of turned into its own business, right? So people kept asking for coaching, mentoring, just based on the messages that we're putting out there. And it formed our own little mastermind group because we're not one-on-one coaches. We've never done that, me and my partners. And we're like, well, what could we do? So we did the mastermind since we've been a part of them. We found a lot of value in that. And so the group of people that we have attracted from the podcast and now a full year of being in that mastermind is all just amazing humans, man. And they, as we were doing kind of a recap on last year's mastermind, they're like, man, we want to do something to really give back. We want to do something more humanitarian. And we've got a handful of like blue collar contractor type people. We've got investors, we've got real estate agents. You know, we've got a wide variety of people, but two guys in our group build playgrounds for school systems down in Texas. One's in Houston, one's in Abilene, right? And so they were like, man, like, when we started kind of reaching out to like where we could do some humanitarian, we found an orphanage in Rosarito, just over the border from Tijuana or San Diego, Tijuana, the Rosarito. And so we found a school down there that they actually do have a playground. It's just very little and it's kind of run down. And we're like, let's go in there. So we have like this $40,000 package, not including labor, just materials. And we're all going down to build it over the next couple of days. And then we're going to mastermind for a day as well. And we'll recap on that. So that's what's kind of brought us down into San Diego before we cross the border.
Well, that is such an awesome use of not only the resources that you guys have, but how better to build the relationship with your mastermind group by helping others. I mean, the bond that you guys are going to form doing that work and seeing the children and their faces light up and know that that's the impact you guys had.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that there's a lot of cool ways that and I've been a part of masterminds. I've been guests and you know, I've never gotten the opportunity to participate in something like that, but I think that would be such a fun experience, both personally, but also just for the group itself. Because I feel like a lot of times when you leave a mastermind, you don't have that bond.
Yeah.
Because there's not that one thing that you guys did together.
Yeah.
Is a personal learning and development, right? Mastermind is a lot of time it's an individual sport.
Absolutely.
Even though you're in a collective group,
you
go with the intent of growing your own.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's such an amazing thing. I hope you're going to be capturing a ton of that content.
We are. And like you just met my wife, my daughter, my sister. I brought them because I'm like, we've never done this. And it's something we've talked about for years. And it's like, you're right, man. Like you're always trying to get to this certain point in your wealth or whatever it is before you start giving back. And it's like, well, there's always some level you can be giving along the way, right? And so we've always wanted to do a humanitarian type project, even as just a family. And then like, I have a 21-year-old down to a 3-year-old. It seems like every 5 years I have another kid. And so every time we've gotten like my last one, my 5-year-old, he's 7 now, but I'm like, hey, let's go do that trip. I think he's old enough now. We could go to Costa Rica. We could go whatever, somewhere, Mexico. And my wife's all into it. And then she's like, I'm pregnant. And it's like, oh, well, we don't want to go while you're pregnant or with a newborn, or we want to wait till the kids are old enough. And so like, we've never actually done it. And so that's why I brought my my 13-year-old and my wife and my sister on this one because I'm like, man, let's go enjoy this together.
Well, and they're going to get to experience it.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm sure that, you know, especially your 13-year-old, she doesn't get to see dad in action as much as I'm sure she would like to. And to see you helping to build that playground for the orphanage, those are the things that are going to let you stay with her, you know, because we all talk about money.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I'm sure your children don't appreciate money yet because like mine, I mean, she's 13. So their understanding of money isn't there until they become an adult and really realize what impact having resources does.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, one of my mentors, actually, we talked about it a little bit off air, David Meltzer, you know, he used to teach me, I always wanted to be rich.
Yeah.
I mean, full disclosure, like even as a kid.
Me too.
I like shiny things. Yeah. I want to be able to buy and go, and I looked at it as freedom. And he used to have this motto, and he's changed it over the years, but it used to be help a lot of people have a lot of fun and make a lot of money in that order.
Yeah.
When I was mentoring with him. And then over the years, he changed it to now it's make a lot of money, have a lot of fun, help a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I asked him once, I said, why did you change the order of the sequence? Because to me, it felt very selfish.
Yeah.
It went from helping people first to making money first. And he said, if I don't make enough money, I can't help enough people.
Exactly.
And when he said it, at first I was like, but then it hit me like a wave. Like,
yeah.
No. It's 100% true. We all want to help. And you know how you know this is true? Is because when you talk about like the lottery gets to like $2 billion.
Yeah.
And everyone's now got a lottery ticket. And you say, what are you going to do if you win $2 billion? The first thing everyone almost says is help somebody else.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy my mom a house. I'm going to take care of my family. I'm going to give all my friends millions of dollars. We all want to do it.
Yeah.
We just don't have the resources.
It's true.
And so what I love about putting your group of mastermind, your mastermind group together, and what you're leading with is impact.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
That is awesome, man. Yeah.
I'm excited for you guys.
Just like that, you know, faith, family, fitness, finances. Like I always questioned like, man, like really, I mean, it is what it is. We live in this society where it's like, you know, currency is what it is, right? Like we have to, in order to give, we have to put like a huge importance on that. And so I've given a talk on that before. It's like, why don't we put finances at the top? You know, it's like nothing's more important than God, right? But God wants you to be wealthy. God wants you to be a great giver. And so like, why are we not prioritizing finances and producing at the top, just like everything else, right? And so I resonate with what Dave's done there where he's like, hey, you know, we got to make a lot of money. Yeah, have a lot of fun. And then help a lot of people. I like that because it's got to be at the top. It's got to be one of your top priorities.
For sure. And also that whole idea of being selfish to be selfless is something that resonates really well with me on the fitness and health and wellness side because I understand that if I'm not the best version of myself and I don't feel good and I'm not thriving, I can't be the best dad, the best husband, the best friend, the best employer, the best coworker, the best customer, et cetera. So it kind of goes across the entire gamut of we have to take care of ourselves first.
Yeah.
And I always now use the plane analogy. You know, if the things pop out of the airplane, they say, put your mask on before you put anyone else's on. Because if you pass out, you can't help anybody.
Exactly.
So the idea of putting that together and incorporating that impactful giving side is just something that is inspiring, man. And I'm just so excited for you guys and your mastermind. Yeah. And I want to see content and pictures. I'm sure everybody else does.
You will. And, you know, last time we had a meetup in Southern California, I know you were like, hey, I'll come talk. Like you've always been super generous with us and your friendship's been awesome, man. So I know we'll have you either back on our show. We'll have you come speak at our event. We'll have, you know, we'll be around each other a lot more, man. Cause I love your energy. So well,
thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So I really want to dig into you.
Okay.
I believe success is formulaic.
Yeah.
I think that we have so much to learn from successful people and it's not what they do.
Yeah.
It's the underlying traits.
Yeah.
And how their behaviors have shaped their success. And I don't care what you do. If you told me tomorrow you were starting a company that did XYZ, sells lawnmowers.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be the most successful lawnmower sales company in the world because of who you are.
Yeah.
So take me back, if you don't mind, to you graduate high school.
No.
Okay. Take me back before you graduate high school.
I had my first child in high school, my senior year. And I was a high school wrestler and I was really good at it. And I had colleges reaching out. They wanted me to come wrestle for their school. And when I found out I was having a child, I was like, well, I'm not going to finish school. I'm not going to go the college route. I'm going to go make money and provide for this child, this family. And that was my first wife. We didn't end up making it. We had two kids together. We did end in divorce, but But man, that was really pivotal and life changing for me. I've always, like you, wanted to be rich. Like, we live in a Mormon community, and we used to get home teachers that come over. And even when I was as little as like 6 or 7 years old, I remember this like home teacher coming over. He's like, "Well, what do you want to be when you grow up?" I'm like, "A millionaire." He's like, "Ah, ha, ha, ha." You know, like, "Well, what are you going to do to be a millionaire?" I'm like, "I don't know, but I'm going to be a millionaire." You know, like, I had no idea what I wanted to be, but money was super important to me, and freedom was important to me, because like, I grew up in a home where money was the root of every altercation between my parents, which were really bad altercations. Like, the cops come over and one of them go to jail, you know, like, you know, it was crazy stuff. My mom ended up in like behavioral medicine, you know, department at the hospital, 'cause she was suicidal. Like, it was crazy. And the root of it was really money. And it was like a lot of problems surrounding that. There were other things too, but money was a big deal. So as a kid, I was like, money solves all problems, right? Which is not true, but it does solve a lot of problems. And so, man, I wanted to be rich. I found out I was having a kid. I didn't know how I was going to do it. And it was a really rough road, man. I ended up dropping out of high school, and my friend was like, "Hey man, let's go snowboarding one more time before you go get a job." I'm like, "Okay, let's do it." So he left school because I dropped out. We drove up to the mountain. We're snowboarding. I break my arm, like literally right in half, like not in a joint, not in the shoulder, not in the elbow, like right in half. And I remember just trying to get up, and my arm's like moving in my arm. I was like, "What's going on?" It's like totally like... And then I had nerve damage. So like, my arm ended up being paralyzed after I got it, you know, taken care of, and, you know, got it casted up and all that stuff. And so now I'm like, well, what am I going to do to make money? I've got this kid on the way. And so I ended up going and getting a job from a friend of my mom's. That was like, "Well, I mean, he can push carts. If he can do it with one arm, we'll hire him." So I'm pushing carts at our local Smith's grocery store for like $6 an hour with one arm, man. And I had like this whole system down where I could like steer the carts, you know, and I could only take in like, you know, 10 at a time instead of 15 or 20 because I only had one arm, you know.
Are you right-handed or left-handed?
I'm right-handed.
So you broke your offhand.
I broke my offhand.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
So that was a good thing, right? But yeah, man, like I just remember making $6 an hour, and I was laying in bed and with my ex-wife, and this TV show comes on, an infomercial late night. It was like Carlton Sheets, make money with real estate. One, I wanted to buy my family a home. They're like, "You can buy real estate with no money down." You know, back then I didn't know these things were scams. And so I was like, man, like maybe I'll buy that guy's program. And it was going to be like $197. I can't remember. Maybe it was 97. I don't know. Some number. And I was like, okay, I got to set enough money to get that knowledge, right? I never ended up buying that program, but I was so obsessed. I was constantly running like budgets and calculating our bills, what it was going to take to get our first house, buy the furniture, what the rent was going to be. Like, I was always calculating what I needed to do in order to get what I needed for my family. So there was a lot of lessons in being a teen dad. Mm-hmm. And like, all I wanted to do was give this child a great life. And so I dropped out, man. I dropped out of high school and I just entered the workforce.
Did you, I mean, that's not a light decision, because you're a senior. So yeah. You were how many months away from graduating when you dropped out?
Let's see. We still had 3 quarters left because we just finished football and I was going to wrestle. And I was like, no, I'm not going to wrestle. I gave up the dream of going to college, being a wrestler. And I played football, but I wasn't like one of the stars of that. I was a star in wrestling, but I was like, so that was a hard decision too. My wrestling coach literally told me I was an idiot, you know? And so I was like, well, it is what it is, man. I'm going to go get a job.
Did you not have anyone in your life that was sitting you down saying, finish the school first?
You know, my parents weren't bad people, you know, I mean, there was a lot of fights and a lot of things like that, but they're really, you know, and I hate saying this because I love my parents, but like, there wasn't a whole lot of like wisdom. They came from really rough upbringings, you know, very poor, a lot of abuse. And so like, you know, they were supportive. They were like, whatever you decide to do, you know, but like, we don't have anything to really offer you like financially or anything, you know? So, you know, I had to buy my first car at 16. I had to do all that stuff. And I'm grateful for that now. I'm grateful for the wisdom I've gained from them in the areas where they didn't have wisdom. Right. And so, all I knew is I to be successful, I had to do things a little bit differently than I was raised. And so I just told them that's what I was doing and they supported it. They didn't fight me on it. So
you obviously not having, where you are today, you can look back and you can say, okay, that decision didn't break you.
Yeah.
It might've been the best decision.
Yeah.
Maybe not. If your child is in the same position at the same time, what advice do you give them?
That's funny. 'Cause he played a little trick on me. He had his first serious girlfriend and they brought home a fake pregnancy test and he thought he was going to get this like crazy rise out of me. And And instead he got like excitement from me. I was like, dude, that's amazing. We'll figure it out. You know,
was he a senior as well?
Yeah, he was a senior in high school. Yeah.
That's a good trick.
But yeah, he
you actually know the answer to what you were going to do.
And his mom actually reached out. She was freaked out because they played the trick on her. Like, he doesn't know he's throwing his life away. And I was like, he's not throwing his life away. You know, like, I went through this. You went through this. We both have great lives. Like, you know, like let's not forget, like, we have a lot to be grateful for. And so, we thought for this whole, like, 2 days that he was playing this trick on us that, you know, his life was going to change. And I was kind of excited for the opportunity to be able to like mentor him and just, you know, help him through that period in time. Because, you know, like there were, when I had the people in my life that wanted to help us, like they were telling us, get an abortion. They were telling us, give it up for adoption. And like, you know, and we considered all of that. And it was like, no, let's do this. We're able bodied. We can do this, right? Like, we're capable people. And so we decided to raise our child. And so I was excited because he changed my life so much. Like, I was excited actually to like him have this experience and have me to be able to kind of like mentor him and be there for him. So
he ran the trick for 2 days.
Yeah.
That's a serious commitment to this trick.
I know. Well, he told my daughter, my 13-year-old that you met, while we were gone on vacation. And so he didn't actually come over and show us the pregnancy test yet. So we were getting home from vacation or a work trip. I can't remember what one it was. And I had already called his mother. I'm like, hey, he told our 13-year-old. Our 13-year-old told us. Now I'm telling you. So for like 2 days, we're like, let's just wait for him to talk to us. So the trick was only a day, but it was 2 days for us because rumors.
But was he, I guess, let me ask you a little more pointed. If he said he was going to drop out of high school, would you have tried to convince him to stay in school, or would you have said,
you know, that's a really tough one, man. You know, I probably would have told him like, hey, there's a lot of value in finishing because that's one of our family values. Mm-hmm. And our family core values are our faith and finishers. Like, Goodmans are finishers. Goodmans are courageous, and Goodmans are lights in the world. Like, we try to lift other people up. So those are like our four core values in our family.
Faith, finishers,
courageous,
yeah, and lights.
And lights, yeah. And so, like, I probably would have pushed him to finish. Hey, see it through. You're real close. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of value in creating study habits that you're going to need in the world. And so, like, take it seriously and finish it. You know, learn from some of my mistakes. But if he said, no, I'm going to enter a job force or whatever, I'll be like, I'm going to support you, you know. But, you know, like, I think there's a lot of value in finishing things that we started, because that was a huge obstacle for me. I didn't finish anything, man. I didn't finish high school wrestling. I didn't finish high school. I didn't finish a lot of things. I got, you know, I started jobs. I ended up not liking them. I'll go to another jobs, you know, so I had a lot to learn from not being like a finisher in my life. And still to this day, I'm an amazing starter. Like, I start companies, but I will bring people in to help me finish them. You know, like, I'm not a CFO. I'm not a COO. Like, I own this accounting company, but I'm not a CPA, you know, but I know how to bring the right people together. And so, so whatever I commit to, I make sure that there's a finish line there, you know, even if it means like, I don't finish it by myself, like, I'm bring people in to finish it.
So what was the catalyst that turned you from a non-finisher to a finisher, even in your personal life? Cause there had to have been some moment.
Yeah.
Cause I struggled with that myself. I'm a great starter also. I think that's one of the things that made our friendship grow right from the get.
Yeah.
Was, we share a lot in that, that I have to bring people in because I'm also none of those other elements. And I try to think back as what created that change in me, because I was also the shiny object kid, jumping from what to what. Do you know, or do you have something in your, was it your son? Yeah.
Well, no, not for that. I would say I developed that as a strong core value for me, because when I worked at an accounting company as a sales representative, I loved that job. You know, I came from a home, IRS problems, like, literally they, you know, seized my dad's assets. You know, they let us keep our home, but they leaned it. They took levied his bank accounts. You know, they garnished my mom's paychecks at her job, like, you know, because they were horrible with money, you know? And so, you know, he was a contractor, he was self-employed, but he didn't know how to manage his money. So when I got a job at an accounting company, I was like, whoa, this is like huge. Like, all these problems weren't the IRS. This is my dad, right? And so, but I love that job, and I got fired from that job because I am so entrepreneurial, like, just as a spirit, that I was like starting these side hustles. And finally my job, even though I was still the number one representative in the entire company for sales, like, and I recruited people for him too as salespeople, I trained people, I trained one of my best friends who took over the number one spot out of like 10 sales guys, right? At this company. So I dropped from number one to number two, and my boss was like, dude, you're not focused. And I can't have people here that have side hustles, and you're going to thank me one day, but you're fired. You know? And so I was like, whoa, holy cow. And like, I cried, you know, cause like one, this was like one of my first mentors in business. Like I looked up to this guy a lot that was my boss, and he became wildly successful, and we have a great relationship now. He sued me a couple times cause I started my own accounting company. And, anyway, so we went through some battles, but man, I actually had a lot of failures in business early on. And I realized like it was because I wasn't finishing things. I would start projects and I wouldn't finish them. And even though we ended up being successful in business, like a lot of failures, business partnerships that fell apart, projects that we started that we weren't like really like putting a plan to that had a finish line. Like I just realized like, dude, there's a lot of things. If I'm not like all in on it, I won't finish it. And mm-hmm. so I had to kind of develop where I was like, okay, well, I had to kind of develop these opportunities as like micro projects that had finish lines, right? So if my job is to build a marketing ad for the company, like I've got to sit down, I've got to write the copy, I've got to brainstorm on the ideas, the message, film the content, and then I'll bring one of my friends in that is great at building funnels and help me fine tune the copy and get it to the finish line, right? And that's going to be super powerful for our company because there's so many operators that will like start things that are great ideas, but they don't know if they're going to work or not because we don't get to decide what a great marketing funnel is. Like the data tells us, the world tells us, right? Like they tell us when they click and they watch and they buy and they sign up or they schedule a booking. Like that is what tells us is like all this split testing and all the things that we got to do. And so like I'll bring people in to make sure it gets to the finish line. Like, hey, we need a new marketing campaign. Cool, I'll take that on. And I know I'm going to be great at starting it, but I need my finishers on my team as well to make sure we bring it to the finish line. So that's kind of what I developed through that. Cause there was a lot of like just things I didn't follow up with or really important relationships that I just let fizzle because maybe I was scared or intimidated or, you know, whatever, like some insecurity behind it. So I just wouldn't finish it because of these fears. Right. And so I became aware of that from getting fired, starting my own thing, going through several projects unfinished. I was a good sales guy, so I could always make money, but I was like, man, you can only do this for so long. Like the life I want is way bigger than this. So mm-hmm. I've got to finish.
No, it's so powerful. How old were you when you got fired?
23.
So you had like a 4 or 5 year old?
Yeah.
4 or 5 year old.
That's about right. Yeah. Yeah. And I had my-
Your second one?
My second one was just probably newborn. Yeah.
So the day you got fired, you went home, you cried.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe, and I'm going to take a guess, so you tell me if I'm wrong, that was the start of the kale I'm sitting next to today.
Dude, for sure. Absolutely.
So you get fired, you go home. Mm. What was the first company you started after that?
Well, luckily we had a side hustle with my business partner, Jeremy. He also worked at that tax company and he quit far before I got fired. But he kept saying, dude, let me day trade your money in this foreign exchange market, the Forex market, right? And I was like, nah, dude, I don't like that crap, you know? He's like, let me just teach you some things. And I'm like, nah. He just kept hounding me. And then he finally got me over just to look at it through his persistence. And I was like, that's pretty cool, man. Like, I'm not the kind of guy that's going to look at charts all day. So it doesn't interest me. He's like, well, dude, I wrote this whole course on it and I can really teach people how to do it. I've gone through 2 years of education on it. And he's like, if you'll just help me sell people, like we can partner on this thing. And so while I was working at that accounting company for maybe 5 or 6 months, we were going home at night and brainstorming and starting our side hustle. And it was literally in the basement of my home. At this point, because I was a good sales guy, like I had already bought and sold my first home. I had some equity there. I built a new home. I had an unfinished basement that I hadn't finished yet. And so we were like taking carpet remnants in this, like one of the bedrooms downstairs for sound and like setting up computers and running wires and stuff. and I was like, okay, man, we're going to do this. I'm going to help you sell these. You're going to coach people. I'm going to sell to people. He's like, cool, where are we going to get leads? I literally went on like salesgenie.com, leadpile.com, all these old bunk lead sites, and I bought leads just to start practicing a sales pitch. And I ended up getting some sales in those. Then I started reaching out to friends I knew like in the marketing space and being like, hey, do you have any leads of people that want to make money from home? They're like, yeah, but it's not Forex. It's like doing data entry jobs or whatever. I'm like, cool, give them to me. I bought those leads and I started getting a little more success because these people wanted to make money from home. So I'd call them and I'd be like, look, you're still kind of working for someone else when you're doing a data entry job from home. Like, wouldn't you like the opportunity to work for yourself? Like, there's this amazing new market called the Forex, right? And so it was this it was a Forex trading company, and it was called the Forex Wire. And we would call people and sell them, and he would coach them. And actually, a lot of our clients were getting really successful. And then what happened was, it was a totally unregulated market, kind of like crypto now, right? And now they're starting to regulate it. They did the same thing with the Forex market. They were like, the NFA is going to step in, the National Futures Association, they're going to regulate this. And they said, you have to have a Series 7 in order to receive commissions from these brokers. Because we were making sales on the training. And then when we'd set these people up with their trading accounts, we would make a little bit of points on the spread. That turned into a lucrative.
You really were making money with the trades.
Yeah. So we're making money with the trades. Well, we weren't allowed to anymore. And that was like a huge revenue source by the time we had to wind this company down. And because we're just some dumb sales guys. Like, we're not going to go get our Series 7, you know? So we had already started creating our accounting company because I loved that industry. And so we kind of just
started
pivoted.
A separate side hustle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was the birth of Easier Accounting.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, like, yeah, man, getting fired was tough because I was making like 120 to 50 grand a year as a sales guy. And now I had nothing. And we had the side hustle with a few sales coming in, and we were like, well, dude, I had a bigger home. I sold my home. I had a bigger home. I had a bigger lifestyle now. So I was like, man, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I was also the one fronting the money for the equipment, the computers, the phones, the leads, you know? So I was like, man, I got to have some income coming in while we build this. Otherwise, I'm going to have to go get a job, and this is still just going to have to be a side hustle. And so my partner, Jeremy, and I, we decided, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pay ourselves $500 a week. That's it. So I went from 150 grand a year to 20 grand a year, you know? And so, and I was like, when we get $100,000 in the bank, free and clear, total basis, no expenses, no taxes, nothing, then we'll give ourselves a raise.
Okay.
Then we'll have tangible some capital goal to grow. We'll be able to build our sales team. We'll be able to do all these things, right? And so that was what we stuck to, man. So we hustled in the basement until we had 100 grand in the bank account. And then we went and got our office space, started bringing in other sales guys, started bringing in other coaches and training them. And it kind of flourished from there. So.
And this is in the accounting business?
No, that was the Forex business.
That was still the Forex business. Yeah. So how long did it take from that moment till the 100 grand?
Oh, man, it probably took a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you lived off 26,000 bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when you say, like, you know, that moment's probably what created Kel right now, it's like, that's a huge part of it because...
Hey, fitness fans, ready to crush your fitness goals? Make your move to EOS Fitness, where becoming a member starts at just $9.99 a month. Gyms are open 24/7 and packed with the latest gym equipment to keep your workouts fresh. What are you waiting for? Give them a call, drop by, or hit up jefffenster.com/EOS to join. EOS Fitness, better gym, better price. Now, let's get after those goals.
I learned how to take steps back in business in order for the greater good, in order for those bigger leaps forward. And it always comes down to making some sort of sacrifice. And at that time, I was like, man, I got to have enough to barely get by. I'm willing to burn through my savings to see this thing through and make it happen, you know? And so that's still what I do to this day, man. I'm always like right now, like our accounting company has gone through these crazy changes, and it's like, we better bring on way better talent. We had to bring on way more people. Payroll ate up almost all the profits. And so I went to the partners. I'm like, hey, we're not going to take owner's draws for a while. We've been living very great for a long time. Like, we're all making over $1 million a year take home, mm-hmm. but we're going to give that up right now so that we can build the team. So now we can pour gas on the next level. And that's what we're doing right now. Like, we're in the middle of that right now, but it's not the same situation because everybody's literally got money resources to eat for a while. So.
But it's the mindset, right? Because you're willing to do it when you have no money in the bank, and you're willing to do it when you have plenty of money in the bank.
Yeah.
And I think that is the gold. Mm-hmm. People hear, oh, I don't have money. Or they hear, he has all the money.
Yeah.
But what they're missing, and what I think is the gold from what you just said, is you're willing to make the sacrifice regardless of what you have. You will either eat macaroni and cheese for a year and sacrifice because your future you deserves it. Mm-hmm. Or you're willing to say, hey, I'm not going to make another $1 million this year because the company deserves it.
Yeah.
And my future self deserves
it.
And those sacrifices are part of the success formula.
Absolutely.
And I also love that while you dropped out of high school, the degree itself is just a statement.
Totally.
It says, I accomplished this. I'm now ready to work in the world.
Yeah.
The education that we get, most of it, the school system, in my opinion, is broken.
Yeah,
and it might be controversial, but what we don't teach kids in school, and I'm just going to pivot for a second. I think it's crazy to me because I have a senior in high school and she's going to college and we employ a ton. And, you know, we have almost 1,000 employees across the system and the majority of them are 16 to 25 year old.
Yeah.
And when I talk to them, I realize the education system does not teach them anything about personal finance.
Nothing.
Doesn't teach them how to buy a house.
Yeah.
Doesn't teach them about credit.
Yeah.
Doesn't teach them how to make money.
Doesn't.
It teaches them very broad topics and then relies on the individual to have that quest, that quench for learning.
Yeah.
But what you said when you quit school and or dropped out, one of the things you said, and I don't know if it was in the forefront as you were saying it, but I was when I was listening to you, that while you were pushing carts with one arm and in a cast, and you saw a $97, $197 course that you wanted but you couldn't afford, you started learning.
Yeah.
You took proactive steps to learn everything you can about real estate because you saw that as the means to the end.
Yeah.
Which means you didn't really need the high school diploma because you already were curious and an avid learner.
Yeah.
And ready to make the sacrifices necessary to get yourself ahead.
Yeah.
And look at all those times that you've done that. So you have easier accounting. It's now obviously flourishing.
Yeah.
And you have a new problem. It's still a problem.
Yeah.
But it's how do you now invest your capital and your time?
Yeah.
And how do you continue to grow and thrive as an individual? And so you're an investor in a lot of companies.
Yeah.
In full disclosure, you're an investor in Everbull. Yeah. I mean, you actually own an Everbull in St. George. So thank you.
Yeah.
So I don't mean this from a self-serving Everbull side. I do mean this from a you individual, you know, Kale himself. How do you decide where to invest your money? What do you look for?
You know, a big part of it's obviously the network, right? So I'm a big believer in betting on the operators. You know what I mean? So like that's probably the biggest decision. And then, you know, like, cause you can get, for example, like you can get all these projections and, you know, here's what the expected returns are. It doesn't ever happen. And I know that going into these deals, you know, but when I look at, okay, well, is there assets attached to it? Do you own the building? Do you just own the business? Like you just go through those things and I'm not that great at that, to be quite honest with you. So I have people that help me. I've got my attorney who's become a great friend and a business partner in one of our other companies that we own. And he'll go through contracts with me like, hey, I would ask them to edit this. I would ask them to change that or guarantee this if, you know, there's this type of liability. And so I'll let him help me. You know what I mean? So that's literally like my process is I in my network, I see who's actually winning versus who's faking it. You know, some of my best friends that are wildly successful or asking me to invest into things with them are like, dude, they're not buying Lamborghinis. They're not buying all these things, right? Like they are all in on their baby. And that's important to me because, you know, somebody that's passionate about something is most of the time going to make it, figure it out and make it work. You know, there's unforeseen things can happen. COVID, you know, inflation costs, things like that, that kill the expected returns. But it's like, it's okay, man. Like, you know, like it's still, it's not a loss till it's a loss, you know? And so I'm willing to take big risks, you know, but I also do make sure I have my safe things figured out too. So if Everbull for whatever plummeted, right? It's like, I'm still fine. If, you know, other things that I've invested into, like some of Wag's other brands, you know, it's like, I'm okay. You know, like I have my securities, I have my stocks, I have my whole life insurance plans, my permanent life insurance plans. I have all those things. Like my family is covered. And so I don't really worry too much. Like I know the risk than when I'm going into things, but when I really am making the decision, I'm making the decision based on the operator, the founder, the CEO. I'm making that decision based on how they operate and how I feel about them when I meet them and what they've already done too. So,
well, I think that's important because I know I struggle with that.
Yeah.
I've excelled in sales like you.
Yeah.
And one of the negatives of being a great salesman or woman is we're very easily sold.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I buy the hype.
Yeah.
I get sold by great salespeople all day, every day. And it's just a common thing. Yeah. I'm sure you deal with that as well. Because I don't sell from the back end side and I don't do manipulate. Like I'm not trying to, I don't oversell on purpose.
Yeah.
I oversell because I'm passionate.
Yeah.
And so if someone has passion, I'm going to buy it.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Totally.
Like I'm the there way. With you, you know?
Yeah.
And so I've been involved in some bad investments and we all are.
Me too. Yeah.
And it's at first it scared me because I realized like I'm a really good figure outer.
Mm-hmm. Problem solver.
Yeah. That's what I am. I'm professional fireman in the business sense.
Yeah.
But when I'm an investor, I don't get to do it.
Yeah.
I have to just trust.
Yeah.
And so I lost some money on my first few investments with some friends and some deals and it scared me for a while. And then I got back on the horse, you know, and I started to deploy capital to ventures that I thought were there. But I always find it curious how you truly make that determination.
So there's two things I learned. Big influence on this is my dad, because of all his money problems. Like, he was always chasing the get rich quick things. Okay. So that is like a huge red flag for me. And so the second my mind goes to impulsive, so it's two eyes, impulsiveness and ignorance, right? So I have to really regulate myself there, because I already know I'm being impulsive when I'm like, all right, I'm going to buy this Airbnb deal because it has an airplane hangar, and I picture myself having an airplane in that hangar one day. Like, that's an impulsive decision, right? And then there's ignorance that comes with that, because when you get impulsive, you do become, and you choose to stay ignorant based on all the red flags, right? And so I regulate myself on that now, you know? So like, I knew I was being impulsive when I bought that Airbnb with the airplane hangar, but I was like, okay, I'm not going to be ignorant. I am impulsive right now, so I'm not going to be ignorant. And so I had my attorney look over the contracts. I went through, I got data from the Dallas area. I found out that it's in county instead of city. They can never come and say you can't Airbnb it. Then I started doing numbers on what the houses are in that area are renting for on Airbnb and VRBO. Then I found out, like, okay, Toyota headquarters is right there. They constantly have events and conventions. There's all these events and conventions going on in Frisco, Plano, and Dallas area. So I'm like, okay, that's my market. I found other homes that specifically market to that area. So I started doing all my due diligence to make sure I wasn't just making an impulsive and ignorant decision, because that is when things implode, right? Impulsiveness, ignorance equals implosion always. And so I got to make sure that if I'm feeling impulsive about something, because I like the shiny things too, man, I'm a hustler. I like nice things. But when I start getting in that mindset of like, ooh, well, this could get me this much money every month, and then I wouldn't have to worry about these things, or I'm picturing my airplane. Like, that's when you know, you're like, okay, these are impulsive decisions. Now you can start doing your due diligence. Sometimes you get a win, dude. Like, I got to buy that property, and it was an impulsive decision, but it wasn't an ignorant one. There was all this upside. Did I have to put more money into it than I wanted to in the remodel? Yeah, I did. You know, so there was something. I've got a little ground to make up on that investment, but long term, this would be a great investment. I've already had guys in the Airbnb space that have offered me over $1 million for this home, but I'm into it about $1 million, right? And so I'm like, dude, I'm not going to sell it. You know, I know the market's volatile right now, but they know, like, dude, trick that airplane hangar out. You put the games in there. You do these things. You
in the
market
gym.
That just in right.
The gym.
Put the gym in there. You know, the dart boards, the, you know, garage bar, whatever, all that stuff. You trick that thing out. Like, not only are you going to get more of a premium on your rents, but that thing's going to rent out. It's going to be booked out. Like, you've got Texas OU game. You got Dallas Cowboys games. You got conventions. That thing will always be booked. And it's a bigger home. It's got 3 master suites. You know, and I remodeled it that way so that, because it was a 3-level home, I put a master suite on every level. I made it a really cool home for people to bring their groups, their multiple families or their business groups, to be able to have a great experience there. And so other people are seeing that now, and they're like wanting to buy the home. So I know I made a great decision, but there was some impulsiveness there. So I had to make sure I wasn't being ignorant.
Well, I can tell you, when I'm in the Dallas area, you know, you're getting a phone call. I'm renting it.
For sure.
Because that hangar looks and sounds awesome.
Dude, you bring your team there. It's got an amazing living room. You can do, like, you know, put up presentations. Like, I had one guy rent it, and he was doing like his own little mastermind in there. Mm-hmm. Steve Weatherford asked me to rent it because he wanted to do his mastermind there, but it was already booked. We couldn't rearrange it for him. So, but
I love what you just said. Impulsive and ignorance equals implosion every time.
Yeah.
I mean, so I had Jimmy on the show, Jimmy Rex, and I asked him about investing in real estate, and he gave me a piece of advice. And I think it will fit for you for sure. And he's like, just make sure you clear $100 for every $100,000 in the purchase price. You do that, and you'll always be okay.
Oh, wow. I like that.
Yeah. It was a nice, easy, digestible way to say, hey, if you're going to invest in these, because real estate's scary.
Yeah.
It's tough. Like, there's people who are really good at it, and they've done it forever.
Yeah.
There's guys like myself who I dabble.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a professional real estate investor or a real estate guy, but I like real estate. I think it's a great vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that you're buying at the top of the market is always scary.
Always.
But the truth is, there's never a bad time to buy real estate.
Yeah.
If your horizon is long enough.
Yeah.
And for what you're using it for, and how you're kind of thinking it through, and what you're willing to put into it.
Yeah.
And put that little kale spin.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. We said this before the show, but my favorite thing about this story is it has its own runway for the community and an airplane hangar.
Yeah.
Because one day you're going to own a jet.
It's true, man. It's true. That's something that I've always wanted. And so I don't know what'll happen. But I'll tell you what, man, just who I am, when we talk about a success formula, it really does come down to, it starts with courage, right? You talk about real estate being scary. It's scary for me too. All these investments, all these businesses I've started, getting fired from my job, having my kid in high school, like I'm probably, and that's why it's one of our family core values is we're courageous. We're Goodmans. We're courageous people because that's where it always starts, man. Like we need more people with just more courage in all areas of our life, you know? And yeah. So I'm huge on courage. If you have courage and you're willing to make commitments to things, even though they're scary, and you're willing to put some consistency behind it, it's going to develop competency. And when you have competency in whatever it is that you're going into, whether it's a real estate investor, you know, and it's figuring out everything, you have actual competency around like what makes a great deal, you're going to win every single time. And then you're going to have all these gifts to share with people as well. And so that's kind of one of my big formulas is creating courage and commitments and consistency to make sure I'm developing competency in whatever it is I'm doing.
And I'll add that you're also clear on who you are and what it's going to take.
Yeah.
You've taken, so I live core values.
Yeah.
And so many people roll their eyes when I talk about them.
Yeah.
Because to them,
they're buzzy, they're fluff.
But what they don't realize is that's the roadmap I use.
Totally.
My core values for me, my family, and my personal core values, it's how I make decisions when I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And that's what you need it for. It's the parachute when you're on the airplane.
It's so true.
You don't want to use them.
Yeah.
But when you're falling, you're damn happy you have them.
Yeah.
And you know who you are. You know who Goodmans are. Your family has its formula.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I think you've been so incredible at identifying undervalued assets and turning them profitable as a businessman because you're able to lean on those those core values.
Yeah. It's true, man. I'm a big time visionary. And so everything I try and like create, like I just think it's possible, but you just got to have the courage to just do it. You know, so.
And that's one of the things I love about your podcast. And I want to talk a little bit about it because we actually met through your show.
Yeah.
You guys reached out to me. I was in St. George speaking at an event and you said, hey, would you be a guest on our show? This was 4 years ago, maybe?
Yeah. It's been a while. It's been at least 3.5.
Yeah. 3.5 years ago. I mean, this was early.
Yeah.
And we had never met.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I'd love to come. And for me, it was always about making friends. That's my first core value.
Yeah.
Make friends with everybody because you never know who you know until you know them.
It's true.
And everyone has something that you can learn from.
That's true.
And so I came to the Easier Accounting office. I was just blown away at the energy, the vibe from you and your partner, Trevor, who wasn't able to come today, but he's going to be flying on the Easier Accounting jet over here pretty soon. And I just fell in love with you guys and your show. Yeah. And I'll be honest, I've been a guest on probably 350, 400 shows.
Yeah.
I listen regularly, probably to 3 or 4 of them. Just because we don't have enough time. But yours is one I genuinely listen to.
Yeah.
I can't say I listen every week just because I'm busy, but I listen pretty regularly.
That's awesome, man.
And
I love it.
I love how relatable you guys are. You speak from a place of authenticity, but also practical.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I strive for is I like to dummy things down. I like to make things simple, easy to digest, easy to eat so I can figure out what to do because I don't need complexity.
Yeah.
Complexity for me causes confusion and mistakes.
Amen to that.
And what you guys do on your show and who you interview, and I was asking him off air, full disclosure, because this is new to me. I'm on this side of the desk. And you were giving me some really good advice. And part of it was just exactly what I learned from you on your show.
Yeah.
So tell me, what is the ultimate goal for your podcast? Like why did you guys start it? What's the end game if there is one?
So, I mean, dude, we started it to be a marketing bucket for our company, right? So, we started it. So I kind of drug Trevor to some events. I was like, cause he doesn't like to leave his bubble, dude. You know what I mean? He's very like his creature of his habits. And like, he likes to stay in his routines. Right. And I've always been the guy out there. I'll bring the relationships. I'll bring this, I'll bring that, you know? And so I was like, man, you know, we both listen to this like Andy Frisella guy and like, let's just go check him out. Like I've also been in talks with Gary V's team because I've been reaching out to them to try and do one of their marketing with Vayner Sports, like one of their marketing like brand ambassadors. And so I was in talks with them and Gary V was like, well, AJ's brother was like, well, Gary's doing an event in Miami. It's called Agent 2021. He's going to do it for 4 years to 2021. So this was in 2018, pretty early on. He's like, come out to Miami, meet us. And so I went out, I met him. I met his brother, AJ, in person, his mom, his sister. They ended up becoming clients of Easier Accounting. And it was like, it was just cool, man. I just love those people. But Andy Versillo was speaking there as well. And so we got some really good advice from Gary. He was like, dude, it's just going to be the way it is. Everyone's going to have a video team. Everyone's going to have a D-Rock like he had on his team. He's like, you guys need to get you one, right? Build your brand. And so we started there and we hired a videographer and we started putting content out all under the name of Easier Accounting. For whatever reason, Instagram shut our account down for without telling us. There's like, I don't know if we like broke a copyright rule. I have no idea. They wouldn't tell us. They wouldn't give us our account back either. And so Trevor actually had a great idea and he was like, well, dude, instead of like pitching accounting online and, you know, trying to get people to follow us, no one wants to follow accounting. It's like the most boring part of business. Like, why don't we do something that's just value to business owners in general? And we'll call it something like Real Business Owners. I'm like, there's no way that name's available. And he's like, no, it is. I already looked it up. I'm like, bro, snag it. Let's go. So he came up with the Real Business Owners name. And I think that helped us a lot. You know, people are searching Real Business and podcast app or whatever, but you know, that helped it grow a little bit quicker. But man, we just wanted to be authentic on our journey. And we did want more customers. Like that was the ultimate goal in the beginning stages. And then it kind of turned into, well, dude, all these people are like literally sending us letters and gifts. And they're like, dude, you saved my life. I was going to be suicidal because I couldn't make this business work, or I'm going through these hard things. And like, we don't just talk on business. We talk on like everything that affects your business, which is you, right? It's your environment. It's your surroundings. It's your people. It's your network. It's the tactical things. It's the non-tactical things. And so we're like, dude, let's just share as we grow. And so that's all we did, man. And then it just turned into like, coach me, you know, let me join your mastermind. And so it's kind of turned into its own business. I don't know what the end goal is for it. You know what I mean? Like, it really hasn't turned into this huge marketing channel. Like all the relationships I've had over the years, it's assisted in things like networking, things like that. But really, I mean, we're just enjoying it right now, you know, and you know, it's turned into this thing. And as long as it doesn't take me away from like being an awesome father, because that's been big for me lately. I was absent, even though I was an awesome father in a lot of ways with my older kids now, like I missed out on a lot. And I'm in a position now where it's like, man, I still got a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old and the 13-year-old that you met. And I'm like, you know, there's so much I'm missing out on when I'm like on the road or at another mastermind event for someone else's or at mine or planning the event. And it's like, I've got to make sure that, because it's basically a startup, right? Like I got to make sure that like I can be committed to it. And that's one of the reasons we restructured it as well. It's like, man, that's my number one priority, is making sure I'm not missing out on the family, the kids. Like, I don't want to miss all that again. I had to miss all that when I was an employee going to an entrepreneur. And, you know, I just, we don't really have like an end goal for it. We're just enjoying it, but there have been parts that we didn't enjoy. So that's why we restructured it. So we want to be able to add value to people's lives. We want to help other entrepreneurs and business owners, and not for more money. It's literally turned into like, well, dude, our business is great. We have great lives. So as long as it doesn't take us away from that, we want to just help people.
As an entrepreneur, I know how meaningful it is to invest in the people and causes that are close to me. And on GoFundMe, it's easy, safe, and powerful to do just that. Whether you're supporting a family member, friend, local business, or charity. And whenever you make a donation, you're protected by the GoFundMe Giving Guarantee. Visit GoFundMe.com today to help make a positive difference in your community.
Yeah, what you just talked about, that is the hardest question I've ever been asked. I get asked it, unfortunately, too often, and I still don't have a good answer. So yeah. I'm just going to ask you.
Yeah.
And then this question is, how do you balance being an entrepreneur and attacking all the different businesses that I have and you have,
yeah,
and being a father and husband?
Yeah.
And how do you give balance to both, but still giving 100% to both?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you my answer before you tell me yours.
Okay.
Because mine is, I don't.
Yeah.
Something always, unfortunately, it's a teeter totter, and something is always being left behind.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's always been, I move to the one that needs more attention in the moment.
Yeah.
It has caused me to miss things in my personal life.
Yeah.
It's caused me to miss things in my professional life. How do you, I'll have you answer the question.
Well, I fell out of it a lot. You know what I mean? So, but the balance that I do have comes from just honesty. Like, if I'm being really honest with myself, am I being present right now with my kids? Am I coming in the door on my phone? Let me just finish up this last call, you know? So I had to set some hard deadlines, you know, and I've broke them, you know, but I always get back on them too, because it's just that important to me. It's like, you know, when I come home, I want to make sure I'm not on my phone. Like that first greeting from my three-year-old running up, daddy, you know, like, I don't want to miss that, because I'm like, hold on one second, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just have to be really honest with myself, man. Like, if my wife isn't getting the attention she needs, my kids aren't getting the attention she needs, I'll miss some things. I don't want to miss a lot of things. If I got to miss a baseball game for my son, cool, but I'm not going to miss state championships games. I'm not going to miss playoffs. Like, I don't even care if it is my own mastermind. I'll call everyone up myself and say, dude, we're rescheduling it, you know, or, you know, Trev can lead this one without me, whatever it is. Like, but there's things I won't miss. There's things I will miss. But really I just have to be honest with myself in the moment quite a bit. It's like, well, am I being present? Am I really giving them the attention and time that they need? And, you know, there's value on both sides of it. You know, if I'm like really hustling and neglecting some things in the family life, like, well, then I'm gaining some wisdom to be able to share with them, right? Like I'm producing, which is going to be a gift to them. But it's like some things you just can't miss. Like, they don't need all your attention. They don't need you to always show up for them. There's a lot of beauty in them figuring out things in their own as well. So like, I don't beat myself up over it. You know, I used to.
Yeah.
I used to beat myself up about it a lot. And I got to a point where I was like, you know what? I just got to be okay with it not always being okay. Sometimes things are going to pull me away. There's some important things that aren't going to pull me away. And as long as I am, when I am home, when with my family, which is a lot more now, thank God, it's like, I really got to be honest with myself on like being present. Like, dude, put the phone away. You know, have a hard cutoff. I won't take calls after 6 p.m. anymore. Like, I just don't. Like, people want to talk to me. If they text me, I'll get back to them tomorrow. You know, unless it's like some crazy emergency and they text me, like they need me right then and there. Like, most 99.9% of things can wait, you know? So I just had to get really honest with myself about it, man, and stop beating myself up over it.
Yeah. I love it. I mean, it's something I work on. I'm not as good as you are. I made some of those rules, but so I had this rule for a while, which was once I come home, I'm going to put the phone down.
Yeah.
Ask my wife. I ended up spending 48 minutes in the car, in the driveway, still on the damn phone. And she's like, it doesn't work if you just sit in the car. But to your point, it's because I get so ingrained. My challenge has always been, I don't know what day of the week it is and I don't care.
Yeah.
I work 7 days a week because I love what I do.
Yeah.
But I also want to be with my family 7 days a week because I love them.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those big challenges. It's one of the things that I think a lot of entrepreneurs don't understand going in or they're not prepared for, which is there's a cost for everything.
Yeah.
There's a sacrifice. Like to be a professional athlete, I wanted to be one as a kid.
Yeah.
And I went to law school to be a sports agent and understand what pro athletes do and they go through. They don't realize that for the 48 minutes an NBA player plays on the court, they spend 12 hours getting ready for that 48 minutes from meetings to video work to training to practices to rehab to coaches meetings to et cetera. Same in the NFL, MLB.
What sport?
Well, I wanted to be an NFL player, but I'm 5'9" and I'm fast, but I'm 170 pounds. So I can tell you I wasn't meant for it.
There's not very many, huh? Doug Flutie.
Except I didn't have the arm. So, you know, I was a running back. It just wasn't in my cards.
Yeah.
And then baseball was my other passion, but it just, again, but the point of that is that entrepreneurship and business owners, the reason I've been successful is because I used to always say, I'll outwork everybody.
Yeah.
The cost of that is I have missed a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and I have it's really hitting me as my 17-year-old is graduating high school and we just took her on some college tours and everything is the last.
Yeah.
This is the last spring break when she's in high school. This is the last, you know, it was the last Labor Day. It was the last Thanksgiving while she's still, now, will she come home for Thanksgiving? I hope so.
Yeah.
But the difference is I hope so versus she's home.
Yeah.
Right. Who knows what's going to be available to her. And she's looking to go out of state for college. And
it's scary.
It's scary. And it's also, it makes me sad because I missed a lot. Now I look back at all the things I missed.
Yeah.
And I realize a lot of the things that I was taking for granted, but at the same time, the person I am that she sees that I'm training her to be is, I can't just be, because I'm an entrepreneur and a business owner and I'm building something way bigger than myself and it's not a job, I don't have the freedom to just not miss things.
Yeah.
I have to travel. I have to go and do. Now, I use the word have to. I have to for the goals that I've set.
Yeah.
And I think to your point, I think what I learned from you just now is I need to be more honest with myself about which are the things that are important because I've traveled more in the last, I mean, last year I spent 117 days on the road.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
But there's still 200 days you're home. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, dude, you're an amazing example because your kids might want to be entrepreneurs and you're exemplifying your example of what it's going to take. At the end of the day, they don't need all your time. They just need the time that you do have with them to be like quality time, you know? And that's like, dude, out of anybody in this world, nobody wants your attention, your love, your acceptance more than your kids. And so, you know, I was failing there, dude. And I just had to get really honest with myself about that. And it's like, you know what? We're going to start having fun again. And that's really what it came down to. Cause like, I wasn't having fun, man. I was like living in guilt and shame constantly, how my wife was being treated, how my kids were being treated, me being gone, me being absent. Even when I'm not, when I'm there, I'm still absent because I can't stop thinking about this project or this new relationship or this new opportunity. And so it's like, dude, you got to make the time that you do have with them count because they don't need all of it, man. That's still, if you're on the road 200 days a year, you still have 100 days with your family. It's like, make those days count, right? Like, even if it's 4 hours at home before bedtime, going to the kids, you know, baseball game, going to whatever it is, man, like just make it fun. Yep. And like, I lost that for a little while, man. Like, even pretty recently, like this is like last year, the last 2 years were very trying in the personal area. Like, even though business was great, it's like you reach this point where it's like you don't realize in the moment until you do, but it's like this comfort, right? It's like things are just coming and coming and coming, and you stop feeling a little bit full, you start feeling unfulfilled, and then all of a sudden you're treating people differently. And it's like, until you become aware of it, it's like just a really shitty place to be. And so I had to get honest with myself really recently, like in the last 6 months, and just been working really hard with my wife. Me and her have been uniting, you know, like playing music in the home, like dancing with the kids, like being goofy. Like my little 3-year-old has a crazy imagination. I just play the game she wants to play. We got a pool in the backyard. Like, we have the money to go travel. We started our own little Instagram page called Entrepreneur Family Explorer. No, Entrepreneurs Exploring. But then the name under it is like Family of Entrepreneurs Exploring the World. And so like, my daughter's all into it. She's helping me edit stuff, put it on TikTok, Instagram. Like, we're having fun with it. It's not like we're not Instagramming for influence or business or leads, like, you know, or looking at everyone else's life. We're like putting ours out there just that we're having fun. And so like, that's just fun stuff that we're doing, man. And like, it took me just being really honest with myself to get back to that. So, because you lose yourself in business sometimes, man.
You have to, unfortunately.
Yeah.
If you want to be really good at anything, you have to lose yourself in it. Whether it is being a parent, to your point, playing the games with your 3-year-old and living in that imaginative world, if you don't go all in, you're not giving your child that. So exactly. If you've got to do the same for your business, especially if it's something you're passionate about, it's just, that is one of the things that is not glorified. We don't talk about enough, I think, is the how you do the balance.
Yeah.
How do you be a good father or mother?
Yeah.
Good husband or wife.
Yeah.
At the same time as also giving your business all the things that it needs. So
it's true, man.
I mean, dude, I'm getting yelled at now again by the booth. We go way too long. But I could spend hours just picking your brain, hanging out with you, talking with you. I'm my only bummer for me is you don't live in San Diego and I don't live in St. George, so we can hang more often,
I know,
man.
But we need to get spots on both sides. Me and my wife are looking in Dana Point.
No, good.
Yeah.
That's so close. Yeah. And I've been looking. If you remember when I was out there, I wanted a house in St. George. Yeah. So I still want one. If you find me one, I'm buying one. And we'll get to hang. But dude, thank you so much for coming on. I think
truly my
pleasure. I learned a bunch, which is really the purpose of this show. And I think anyone who's listening, if you didn't pick up on those traits, we're going to recap them tomorrow. But I think that everything that you have done and everything that you are doing is both inspirational, impactful, influential, and also fun.
Yeah.
And I think that you're having fun. I can see the glow in your face when you talk about all those cool ventures you're involved in, man.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for coming on the show
my
today.
My pleasure. And I don't know, man. Like, I'll say this. I actually hired a coach to help me have fun again. You know what I mean?
Did you really?
So, yeah.
All right. We got to talk about it.
Okay, well, that superhuman guy, this jacket that I had on, that's my buddy Michael Burnoff. He does all this crazy NLP stuff. And I hired him to help me up my speaking skills. And it turned into like me going to his things. And like, I have learned like from being around his family and being more becoming a friend of his and like not just him mentoring me, but like cracking the whole thing open. It's like his literally secret to success, and he's wildly successful, has been like, dude, he just chooses to have fun with everything he does. And he's taught me all these things that he does to create fun and joy out of everything. And I was missing that so much. And so he literally became a mentor of like how to like discover me and have fun again. Mm-hmm. So anyway. Well,
that, you know why that's dear to my heart is my second core value. My second rule is have fun.
Yeah.
It's make friends, have fun.
Yeah.
And when I'm having fun, I have immense success.
Yeah.
The second I stop having fun, my results tank.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, dude, thank you.
My pleasure, dude. Thank you.
For those of you listening, if you don't already listen to the Real Business Podcast, if you're not a follower of Kale, I recommend you do both of those things. It's life-changing. It really is one of the best shows in the entire podcast network. Kale is someone that I learned from. I'm honestly honored to call him a friend. So when you're done listening to this show, definitely go check out his. His partner Trevor is incredible as well. And we will have him on the show soon. Thank you again. And thank you again.
A pleasure, dude. Thank you.
Hey, everyone. First, I want to thank all of you for tuning in. And if you guys haven't heard about my new book, Relationship Bank Account, click the link in the show notes or search the title on Amazon. This book is packed with all my secrets to success in both relationships and life. Make sure to pick up a copy. And if the book helps you on your journey, let us know by leaving a review. I appreciate all of you and can't wait to see you on the next one.